This podcast is being brought to you by our good friends at Have You Seen That Show. Hey everybody, welcome once again to Tribute Land, the podcast with Scott Keogh. We got a great one for you today. Hey listen, to keep this thing rolling live on the air, if you can swing 99 cents, that is all we ask. If you can hop over to iTunes or Amazon.com and just buy one or more Scott Keogh songs, that keeps this podcast rolling so we can hit each and every tribute artist out there. So if you're a tribute artist, you want to contact me, just give me an email. It's sk@scottkeogh.com. Any feedback, same thing, sk@scottkeogh.com. All right, let's get started. Here we go.
And most of all, how about a big hand for Elvis Presley, ladies and gentlemen? Because without him, we'd be having an Ace Ventura contest or something. You hold it, couldn't you? All right, we ready? Rock and roll, man. Here we go.
Hello.
Hey, Shahoyan.
Scott Keogh, what's happening, man?
What's going on, good man? How you doing today?
I cannot complain. I'm having a fine day here in Las Vegas. Love it here.
Nice. Well, listen, man. Welcome to Tribute Land with Scott Keogh, the podcast about tribute artists, by a tribute artist, digging into the life of tribute artists and find out what makes them tick. Listen, this is brought to you by Shake and Bake. Boring chicken, make it a Shake and Bake night with Shake and Bake. Harry Shahoyan, ladies and gentlemen. Before I bring you on, Harry, I just want to give the audience a little bit about you. Harry resides in Las Vegas, and he is the Elvis of all eras in Las Vegas as well as all over the globe. Harry Shahoyan, everybody, has been providing his audiences with dynamic and energetic and authentic Elvis performances. He brings his charisma and his talent and the voice and, of course, the sex appeal of the king back to life. Harry, welcome to Tribute Land. You ready for this?
I'm definitely ready for this, and I just want you to know that my act has been brought to you by Shake and Bake as well for years, man, because the king shakes and bakes.
He shakes and he bakes. Yeah, right on.
Well, mostly shakes. My wife does most of the baking, you know.
This is what I hear. Harry, what's going on, man? What's happening recently in your life? What's new?
What's new? I've been pretty busy during the holiday season. Did some stuff for the Las Vegas Bowl, which was kind of cool. Big football game here in town. BYU versus Utah. So I had to go up to Utah and welcome the teams to Las Vegas. I ended up singing a little Viva Las Vegas at the BYU college basketball game while I was up there. And then the teams played in Las Vegas, and I got to sing Viva Las Vegas for about 42,000 people. That was pretty neat. Still got my gig at the Nugget, working for Legends. Staying busy, man. One way or another, this town always needs Elvis, which is crazy because there's so many guys doing Elvis, and I'm still really busy, which is a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing, and there's a couple reasons for that. We'll dig into that in a little bit, and we'll get also into Legends, and we're going to get into the Chapel and the Nugget. But before we do, something just caught my ear when you said you sang at a basketball game for 40,000 people. At the end of Viva Las Vegas, did you do a reverse 360 slam dunk?
I did it before the song because that was my strategy. Do the reverse dunk beforehand, yeah, and then sing it.
Okay, you got everybody on their feet first, and then you had the encore. It was the song.
Yeah, and they had this little 8-foot net rim that I had, and I was able to dunk on that. It was nice.
Did you at any time during the dunk mess your hair up at all? I'm concerned.
My hair is impervious to anything, so no, it's like a helmet.
What is the secret to your cool hair, Mr. Shahoyan?
You know, good genes. My mom and dad, you know, they gave me good hair. So luckily, hair is not a problem. My problem is my hair grows too fast, which is a good problem if you're Elvis. No need for a wig here. Happy to have my own full hair. And then, you know, there's some good state-of-the-art products out there for hair, you know. So I got texture cream. I got mousse. I got hairspray. And I got love. You know, I got love for my hair. So, you know, I treat it nice. I shampoo it. I get it colored nice and black, just like the king did. It's all good, man.
That's fantastic. I appreciate how much love you send to your hair. And I'm sure your hair also, which seems to be its own entity, appreciates that as well.
I love my hair.
And your hair loves you. Harry, how cool was it to share the stage with Scott Keogh and bust out the Wonder of You duet style on Tuesday, February 17th, 2014?
Is that what you have the date on that?
I have the time if you want it.
That's amazing. You know, Scott, I've worked for Legends since 2004, and I've had many, many fun nights there. I never did a duet until you brought it up, and I thought it was a great idea, and the crowd loved it. And, you know, you really are a talented guy, and it was a lot of fun to share a song and a stage with you, and I would do it again at any time. It was great.
How about tomorrow at 7:15 at the Nugget?
Well, we can do it tomorrow at 7:15. We don't start playing till 10 o'clock, but if you want, we can get there early and just kind of do it ourselves, you know, for nobody.
Okay, man, let's talk about the Nugget. Ladies and gentlemen, Harry Chahoyan is not only an Elvis Presley extraordinaire, but he takes his talents to the stage at a place called the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas. And more specifically, what's the name of the lounge, Harry?
It's called the Rush Lounge.
The Rush Lounge. And if you want to get a rush, I challenge you to go to this lounge when you're in Vegas. Unless you're already in Vegas, then go there again and check out Harry. His band is there frequently. He'll tell us the times and dates and whatnot. But when he's there, he not only does a couple of Elvis tunes, he dabbles all over the place. The real Harry Chahoyan outside of tribute land really shines and comes out on stage at the Golden Nugget. He also brings in celebrity guest singers. The band is off the charts, and the atmosphere is old school Vegas all the way. I mean, it's live, it's fantastic, it's a good time, it's a party to be had. And Harry lives a very cool and interesting life. He gets to do this for a living. So, Harry, tell us all about the Nugget.
Well, the Nugget has been a real blessing. About 7 years ago, I went in there to go see a buddy of mine, Frankie Moreno, who was performing there 5 nights a week. And he had asked me to come by and check it out. So I did. And from the minute I walked in there, I loved the room. I loved the vibe. I went in there and I saw Frankie and he was killing it. And then he asked me to get up and do a song. And, I did. And, I had a great time that night. I got a call from Frankie the next day asking me if I could start subbing for him on nights when he wasn't going to be there. And, I really truly had no intention of working there in any capacity. I had walked in there just to see my buddy and order a drink and have a little fun. Well, anyway, Frankie started taking a lot of time off because he was touring with Air Supply. And eventually Frankie ended up getting a job over at the Stratosphere, and he left the gig and it was basically handed to me. So what turned into just a casual night of drinking and having fun turned into a gig. And it's a lot of fun. We've come a long way. We perform there currently 4 nights a week. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, starting at 10 o'clock. And I'm proud to say that our band does not use any pre-recorded music. I've put together a band, some of the best musicians in Las Vegas, in my opinion, who can play a lot of different genres, styles of music from about 6 different decades, everything from Elvis to Bruno Mars. We're all over the place. We're an all-request band. You can ask for anything, and if we know it, we play it. And I'd say 80% of the time we know the songs that people want to hear. Occasionally we get stumped, but it's a really, really fun gig, and it's been a real blessing.
Yeah, I can attest to that, people. When you get to the Nugget and you watch Harry do what he does, not only are you watching a true pro, but you're watching a guy that's having fun. And that's what a lounge in Vegas is all about. It brings that old school vibe up. You mentioned how many decades your band spans and your list of songs and music. Not only that, but the vibe that you guys put out. It's Vegas has a lot of nightclubs with DJs and whatnot, and that's been a big influence in the last couple of years in Vegas. And there's been a shrinkage of live music, especially really good live music. And so, if you want to hold on to what Vegas is all about, I'm telling you, from firsthand, I've been there several times. The Nugget is a fantastic, relaxing, or partying. You have both vibes there. You can just grab a drink and hide in a corner and just listen to the music, or you can get involved and dance and sing and request songs. It's one of those situations where you make the best out of it. You know, it's not just one type of club or nightclub. It's pretty much open to whatever the guests want to turn it into, I suppose, right?
Yeah, I would say so. I'd say it's just a fun room. There's something about that room. People come in there and, you know, they say, I'm going to come by and have a drink or two, and then they end up staying the whole night. I can't tell you how many return people we have. Some people come in, they say, you know, we popped in because we heard you singing a song and we decided to stay the night. And then every time they come to Vegas, they come see us. We have people that will come spend, if they have three nights in Vegas, they'll spend all three nights with us. And I think they see a good value in seeing a live band. And there's no cover charge to get in. It's just a fun vibe. And all my guys that I have in the band, you know, we are in the fun business. We just want to have fun with you. And I'm proud of the band that I put together. And they really do kick ass. I mean, it's amazing.
And not only that, you're walking distance from Fremont Street. So once you get done at the Nugget, or if you want to take a little break from the Nugget, you walk outside and you see the wildest scene in our country, which is Fremont Street. And so you got that at the doorstep as well. Very cool. All right, Harry, let's shift gears over to getting married. Going to the chapel. Are you still doing that?
Yes. I only work for one specific chapel. It's the Graceland Wedding Chapel. And a while ago, a lady asked me, this minister that I know, she asked me if I could sing at an Elvis wedding for her. And to be really honest, you know, when I moved to Vegas, my goal was not to sing at chapels. I wanted to do big shows. But the truth of the matter is that there's a huge demand for Elvis at these little wedding chapels. And there is money to be made. And I am a businessman on top of everything else. So I started working at this chapel, and I was blown away. I didn't realize just how many people wanted Elvis for wedding renewals and also for their weddings. And so it's a pretty high volume business, and I'm proud to be part of it. It's a lot of fun. We do have some celebrities through the years that have walked through our door, the most famous being John Bon Jovi. I wasn't there for his ceremony. I didn't work there at the time. The owner of the chapel performed for that one. But I've had to meet a few celebrities. The last one I performed for was Meatloaf. We had Meatloaf was in there. He got married. That was pretty cool. It's a really neat, fun place. And yes, I'm still currently involved with the chapel.
Fantastic. So out there in podcast land, if you're listening to this and you're wondering where to get a hold of Harry, so far he's pretty much everywhere in Vegas. But you've got the Graceland Wedding Chapel, you've got the Golden Nugget, and now we're going to dive into something else here. You know, this is where I met Harry first, and it's a little thing called Legends in Concert, and they are a company that has shows across the country and across the world, and they feature a number of different tribute artists, and they gather them up for a show. It's typically between three and, say, six. The magic number seems to be four or five, usually, tribute artists in one show that spans a whole lot of demographics and different music styles and tastes. And Harry and I both worked together in the Flamingo Hotel in Las Vegas. So Harry, speak on Legends, if you would, just for a little bit, some of the fun times you've had, the structure of it, maybe some some pioneers like George Trulinger, John Anthony, and others, Cookie Watkins. I mean, it's got a rich history of fantastic entertainers. So what is your affiliation with Legends?
Well, let me just start out by saying that I first saw Legends in concert back in 1993. That's the first time I ever saw the show. And I had just started performing as Elvis in 1993, which, God, that sounds like a million years ago. But anyway, I went to go see the show, and back then it was at the Imperial Palace, which is now called the Quad. No, it's not called the Quad. They changed it again. It's called the Link. And I saw the show, and I was blown away, absolutely blown away. I remember seeing, I think Tom Jones was in the show, which was our friend Steve McCoy. I remember seeing Cookie Watkins, Tina Turner. I believe there was a Roy Orbison in the show, too. There were some really, really, really great acts. And after seeing that show, my goal, my dream was to be in the show one day. So finally, around 2000, about 7 years later, I decided to move to Las Vegas. And my goal and my dream was to be in the show. And I auditioned for it maybe four or five times. And I didn't get it. And then one day they called me and they said, "We want to see you." And I thought, okay, great. So I had an audition set up for the following day, and I decided to go play basketball the day before. Ended up getting an injury to my nose, and I went into my audition the very next day with this basically broken nose with a bandage on my nose. And to make a long story short, that's when they finally hired me, when I went in there with a busted nose. It just kind of taught me that timing is everything. But anyway, I finally got my chance to perform at the Imperial Palace, and I'm still currently working for the company. At this time, as more of a backup, the show actually is currently running without Elvis, but they still bring me in to sub for the other acts. So it's been a great 11-year relationship. I performed for them in Las Vegas, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Branson. I've done jobs for them in other states, California. Done some stuff in Mexico, and it's been a lot of fun, and I hope to continue to work for them for a long time.
Yeah, that's cool, Harry, that you you know, you fill in for them from time to time. You do shows here and there. It'd be almost impossible for you to go full-time at this point with them because of your obligations to the Nugget and to the Chapel and to your own private and corporate shows. So that's a pretty decent balance you got going there. It's a juggling act for sure, but You strike me as an incredibly wise business person, you know, wiser and more probably an expert in business than most tribute artists, because you're able to have not just all your eggs in one basket. You kind of spread it out a little bit so that if one thing falls off or goes dry for a little bit, you've got the others. And I think that's a really good approach to the whole entertainment business.
Scott, I appreciate that, and I probably am the most diversified Elvis in town. I don't know anybody who's doing as many different types of Elvis jobs that I do, between the Nugget, which is 4 days a week, the Chapel, which is sometimes 7 days a week, Legends, which is, you never know, sometimes it's 3 days a week, sometimes it's 5 days a week, sometimes it's, you know, whatever, and then the corporate jobs, private parties. It's one way or another. You're right. I'm truly, truly a busy guy. I've certainly paid my dues in this town, having lived here now 16 years. And I'm so glad that I took a chance and I got out of my comfort zone in L.A. and moved to Vegas. And I'm definitely enjoying the ride.
Oh, yeah. The saying is that life begins just outside your comfort zone. It's just too bad that you're so lazy, Harry.
Yeah, right. Lazy? No, I don't think so. But I know you're kidding. Thanks, Scott.
Anytime. Legends in Concert. Jillian Hershowy, who has been a longtime showgirl in Las Vegas, and then she turned over her skills to Legends in Concert as a program director for the show in Vegas, and she's been doing it for quite a while. She is one of those legendary Las Vegas monuments and treasures. I had the fortunate I was fortunate to work with her for 6 months at the Flamingo, and Harry still from time to time does jump in there. And tell us a little bit about Jillian and how cool she is and just how different she is from most program directors that you'll find out there in the world.
Yeah, Jillian, she's a lovely lady who it's kind of ironic because she performs or she manages us, you know, as a program director there. But she actually worked with some of the real acts, the real people. You know, she actually worked with Sammy Davis Jr. She actually knew Elvis back in the day. And so it's really a blessing to have her and her expertise and her knowledge and her acceptance too. The fact that she likes what we do, and I think Jillian's great. She's a treasure, and become, you know, like a, I don't want to say a mom, but you know, someone that I definitely trust and enjoy. You know, she's great.
Yeah, I know. I'll go ahead and say mom. I think she is. Like that, she wants to protect her friends and her family, you could call it, because you just get that sense that she's on our team. When anything goes wrong, she's right there, first person to get your back, and could be like you said, she's been there and done that with Sinatra and with Sammy Davis Jr. And so she's got that.
Yep.
She's got that old school knowledge, and it's just amazing to work with someone like that.
Oh yeah, we all love Jillian, and she looks out for everybody. There's no doubt about it. She's definitely, yeah, she is like a mother to everybody, you know, definitely.
Speaking of fun people in Vegas, Damian Brantley comes to mind. One of the very best worldwide Michael Jackson tribute artists, also has and continues to work with Legends in Concert. Me, Harry, and Damian shared a dressing room for several months, and I didn't get many words in at all during the time I was there, because between Harry and Damian, what can I say?
Yeah, I definitely had some fun times. That was definitely a fun run that we had with you, Scott. And, you know, Damian is, you know, in my opinion, there's guys that are, you know, tribute artists, impersonators, and then you have people that are actual entertainers. Damian is a guy that could go out just like George Trillinger, who you mentioned earlier, same thing. Those are a couple guys that come to mind right away that could go out there with or without their costume and be entertaining. They don't need a costume to be entertaining. They could go out there and just talk to the audience, and they could entertain in a ball cap, shorts, and sandals. They could entertain people.
Yes.
And that's the truth. You know I'm right.
Oh, absolutely. Damian takes more risks on stage than a trapeze artist. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, but that's part of being an entertainer, is that you got to get out there and just, you know, throw it out there. You know, and not everything's funny, not everything works, but boy, I tell you what, it takes confidence and talent. And those two guys are two of the guys I think of as being true, true entertainers.
Absolutely. We also had Donnie Marie and Olivia Newton-John sharing the same stage. Legends is quite a trip and quite a fun ride. So now back to your hair again. I just want to do an update and make sure your hair is doing okay right now.
Yeah, let me check. Hold on. Yeah, I just did like the Fonz. I went over to go check. I was going to fix my hair, and then I stopped, and I just kind of said, "Up, oh, it's fine." So, yeah, I'm good. And I really did just look at my hair, by the way. I really did.
Oh, no, I have no doubt you didn't do that. In fact, before your onstage appearance, and they'd give you a call time. Let's say the call time was 30 seconds. You would take 29 of those seconds to make at least four more adjustments to your hair and look at it one last fifth time and say, final, final. And then you'd walk downstairs and take the stage.
Scott, you're probably right. Yes, I'm a little bit fixated on my hair. What are you going to do? It's an Elvis thing, I guess.
Oh, man. I love it. Hey, speaking of Elvis thing, like a good neighbor, oh, man. Tell me about this thing.
Oh, man. Well, you're talking about my commercial. I about a year and a half ago, I heard that there was going to be an audition for the State Farm commercial. They wanted a bunch of Elvises to be in a commercial, and a few people had texted me about it, And I had a job that I had to do in Ohio. It was the night before the audition. I flew back on the day of the audition, and I had to be at Legends, and I didn't have enough time to make it to the audition, so I did not go. And I ended up getting an email that night directly from the producers of the commercial from State Farm, and they wanted me to come to the callback audition. And I didn't even know who they were and how they knew me, but as it turned out, they knew me from a previous project that I had done. I had been in a commercial for Toshiba that ran only in Japan, so nobody in America saw it. They asked me to go to the callback audition, so I did. And the director liked me. He liked my voice. He liked my look or whatever. And they put me on hold that night. And I got an official hire 2 days later. And we filmed it in October of 2014. And it started running January 8th, 2015. And so it just had the 1 year anniversary of running. And in 1 year, it ran 16,200 times in 1 year. They play it not only on TV, but on the internet, gas stations, movie theaters. And I'm proud to tell you that it's a, you know, SAG gig. It's a residual income gig for me. So just what a blessing. And I didn't even go to the audition. Just unbelievable.
Yeah, I can't escape it. I can't get far away from it. Everywhere I go, I see it. It's one of those things that follows me like a nightmare.
Sorry about that, Scott.
No, I love it.
Sorry, my man.
I'm very proud of it. Every time I see it in front of people that I know, I stop what everyone's doing. I say, everyone stop what you're doing. I know you're walking down the aisle right now. This is your wedding, but I don't care. I just saw Harry on TV. Everyone stop and check out my boy Harry here. Oh, man. And he's doing his thing.
Oh, man.
That's it.
Yeah, that was neat. And the thing is, the director on the fly, he, you know, he threw my name in there, too. He gave all the guys a shout-out. There was originally six guys that were shot that day. We had six Elvises. Anyway, they made two versions of the commercial. One is 30 seconds long with four Elvises, and the other one is 15 seconds long with two Elvises. And thankfully, I'm in both of them. But up until the night of the shoot, the script was written to call me Jamie. And the director, who his name is Roman Coppola, he is the son of Francis Ford Coppola. That's who directed the commercial. On the fly, last minute, he said, you know what? His name is Harry. Just call him Harry. And he did that for every other Elvis that was in the shoot. And I, on top of, you know, scoring a national commercial, I got my name in the commercial, which was awesome. And I got to meet Francis Ford Coppola's son, who, you know, for me, I'm a big Godfather fan and a big Francis Ford Coppola fan. He played... His son, Roman, played the young Sonny role in the movies. So I've seen him on the big screen in the Godfather movies as the young Sonny. And, I mean, what a cool guy and what a great opportunity he gave me and the guys in the commercial. So I'll forever be grateful for that opportunity.
Oh, that's fantastic. There are like 10 stories in this one story right here. This is such a cool thing for you and for your friends to witness. We're all proud of you for doing it. And I like the fact, too, that you're in every commercial. There's four on the 30-second commercial. There's four Elvi
right
in that one.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'll tell you, if I didn't know you even, I would still say I think you do the best job as far as sounding and looking like Elvis in those compared to the other three. No slant against those other three Elvi. In fact, if they come on my podcast, I'd probably flip it and tell them that they're the best also. But for now...
Well, that's smart. Yeah.
For now, you're definitely the best. And, you know, obviously this podcast will give you probably more exposure than the commercial, but I'm still very happy about the commercial that it happened.
Yeah. This is, thank you for this, Scott. I appreciate this. You're going to make me a big star. Thank you, buddy.
You're in tribute land now. So, folks, besides being the undisputed king of Las Vegas and around the world, there's another city where he's actually more important and bigger. They treat him like the Pope. In fact, they bring him in like the Pope. They have some kind of a fanfare with giant palm trees, and they swing a man off of a giant crane, I think. He's on the back of an elephant. I don't know how he comes in, but it's very Polish. Yeah. And it's I believe the town is called I believe the town is called Sierra Madre.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up in a town called Arcadia, California, and just north of that is there a town called Sierra Madre. It's very close, and I worked in Sierra Madre from the age of 16 till I was about 28 years old. I worked at this restaurant for about 12 years, and through the years, I got to meet a lot of the people in this small town, and a lot of them saw my career start to grow. I did my first job, like I said, in 1993. So some of these people kind of got to see me evolve as a performer, evolve as an Elvis. I used to sing at the restaurant. I used to bring in a guitar player, and the guitar player would play music. And then every now and then I'd say, okay, I'm ready to sing. So while I was serving people's foods or taking their orders, I would start singing for them. And, you know, it helped with the tips. And I kind of started honing my craft. And they asked me to do a concert one year. I think the first year I did it was maybe 1996, maybe something like that. And there's this little outdoor concert park. It's like a band shell. And the first year I did it, we had a few hundred people out there, and it was a lot of fun. Well, they've asked me to do it every year since then. So now we're approaching maybe the 20th year of doing it. And at this point now, people line up. They put their blankets and their chairs out 2 to 3 days beforehand, and it's become an annual deal. And every year they come up with a different vehicle to bring me in, whether it's a convertible car, a police car, a motorcycle. They've done just about everything. I think it'd be kind of fun to parachute in this year. We'll have to talk to them about that. But it's been a lot of fun. And Sierra Madre, I still have a lot of friends, and it's fun to go back every year and do it. Usually in July or August or June is when they do a concert series out there. So I'm not sure what day it's going to be this year.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, forget about Coachella. Forget about EDC. Go straight to Sierra Madre to watch this spectacle. He's been performing for years at Sierra Madre. Two of those years he was entertaining. So check it out. It's a good situation.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, man. We've had, over the years, I've had some friends come down there too. George Strollinger has performed down there many, many times with me. I take down my band, and they always kill. John Anthony, you know, Rod Stewart, he's been down there with me as well.
John Anthony from Boston.
John Anthony, my dear friend. I was just hanging out with him last night, and you know, another talented guy. And he works with me over at the Golden Nugget too. There's some nights where I can't go in, and I send in John to go in, and he doesn't perform as Elvis or anything, but he goes in, and not only does he do Rod Stewart, but he sings a lot of other songs. Does a lot of Beatles, and you know, he's another great entertainer.
Oh, does an impeccable Rod Stewart. I got the opportunity to work with John Anthony from my Boston brethren, and he kills it from start to finish. Love the way he sings Maggie. Just tears it up.
Oh, he's the best.
He's the best. Okay, so now, folks, what you've been hearing is just you know, a dream life, a superstar, if you will, in his own right, and all that adds up to a nice lifestyle. I got to visit him at his house and his family, his beautiful, fun family in Summerlin, I believe it's called. And Harry's got this castle out there. You know, he really does live like a king.
Well, I don't know if it's a castle, but it's a pretty decent house. Thanks, man.
Yeah, just watch out for the moat. There's alligators in that. Harry, what town did you grow up in? Again, was it Arcadia, you said?
Yeah, I grew up in Arcadia, California.
Okay.
And I lived there for most of my life.
When did you know that music was your thing? Not just the Elvis thing, but music in general.
Well, when I was a young guy, my mom told me that she wanted me to learn an instrument. So she took me to a music fair, which was held at the high school that I was not attending yet, but that's where the music fair was. And anyway, she pointed at three different instruments, and she told me that I was going to be playing one of them, and I was to pick the one that I wanted to play. So there was a piano, and there was a violin, and there was a trumpet. And I immediately picked the trumpet, and I don't know why, but I did. And so I played trumpet for about 6 years. I actually performed in the marching band in my ninth grade year, and I took private lessons, and I basically played, you know, for the school. I was first seat, first chair trumpet in my class. And I'm so glad that my mom encouraged me to do that, because it taught me about music. So I actually can have a, you know, a decent conversation with a musician and kind of understand what's going on. Had I not done that, I might not have the awareness. It's kind of, you know, as a performer, you got to understand music. And I know you understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of the marching band, that if Sierra Madre is listening, I think they should probably have a marching band as you helicopter parachute into the park this year.
Or maybe we can all march in together, and I can pull out my trumpet and in my jumpsuit, like, just be with the marching band and just march in this year. Maybe I'll just do that.
Oh, you'll just be playing the trumpet alongside the other marching band people. I like that. Okay. That'll work.
I've always thought that'd be kind of fun to play my trumpet and bring myself on stage to ba-da-ba, 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 ba-da-ba. I thought about doing that, but that hasn't materialized yet.
I'm down with that. That's a funny image right there. I like that.
Yeah, why not?
What was the very first song that you ever sang?
Well, the first song that ever got me into doing Elvis, the first song that really caught me and a light bulb went off in my head, was Blue Suede Shoes. Mm. And I heard that song somewhere. I think it was on the television, and it was like a music video or something. And man, I just started mimicking that song the minute I heard it. And I remember just walking down my junior high class, and I'd just be singing it to myself. I love that song. And what happened was, I heard that there was going to be a talent show that year. And when I heard about the talent show, having never performed or sang in front of an audience, I decided that I was going to enter the talent show. And I was going to sing Blue Suede Shoes. Well, the day of the audition for the talent show was the same day as the baseball tryout. There was a 2-day baseball tryout. And I decided to not go to the first day of the baseball tryout. I only went to the second day, because I thought for sure I'd make the baseball team, because the coach knew me. And I felt that I was definitely one of the better baseball players in my class. And I felt that the coach would take me anyway. Well, what ended up happening was, I went to the audition, and they ended up putting me in the talent show, but I ended up not making the baseball team, which was very upsetting at the time. But it's kind of ironic that I chose to go to the audition and sing, because that's eventually what I ended up doing for a living. At the time, I didn't know that it was going to work out that way, but my heart told me to go to the talent audition. And I sang Blue Suede Shoes for my entire class. Now, even more ironic, there was a girl back then, Mari Stevenson, who asked me if I would duet with her on a song called You're the One That I Want from Grease. So I said, sure. So I ended up singing two songs that day. I sang Blue Suede Shoes, and I sang You're the One That I Want from the movie Grease. And the irony of all that is that it led me to doing Elvis. And then now we are at the Flamingo, and we share the room with Olivia Newton-John, and getting to meet her. And I've told her the story about how the first time I ever sang, I sang Blue Suede Shoes, and I sang You're the One That I Want. And now here I am, you know, sharing the same room and the hallways and getting to know her. And it's pretty neat.
Well, I mean, you got to do that duet with her now, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if she, you know, she wants to do it, man, you know, I know, I got it.
Okay, Olivia.
I love that movie.
Olivia, if you're listening, Harry's the right situation. If John Travolta is not available, Harry's the right guy to fill in with that duet. So let's get that
absolutely
done.
Absolutely.
That's
that'd be something, wouldn't it?
That'd be fantastic. Okay, very cool. So yeah. We've had similar lifestyles, Harry. I too played the trumpet in junior high. and a couple of years in high school before I switched over to drums. But I did play trumpet. What else did we have that was similar? Oh, okay. Your song was Blue Suede Shoes. Mine was Hound Dog. I loved Hound Dog, and I would sing it to girls because I was quite romantic, and I wanted to point out that they were a hound dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't go over well.
Oh, yeah.
But
what a romantic.
Oh, yeah. Everyone wanted to be Elvis. You know, men wanted to be like him. Women wanted him. And, you know, my tribute, Michael Bublé, they asked him one time, they said, Michael, if you could bring one person back that's not living and spend an entire day and night, you know, hanging out with that person, who would it be? And he said, oh, hands down, it's Elvis Presley.
There you go. Wise man.
He's a wise man, that Michael. Okay, so besides Elvis, besides the obvious, who were some other musical influences or artists that you liked?
Well, you know, I've gotten a huge appreciation for Tom Jones. I love Tom Jones. I love the way he sings. I love his soulful voice. A lot of the old school guys, you know, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin for sure. I love all that music for sure. I mean, I remember for years I used to put on Frank Sinatra music and listen to all his songs, and Dean Martin. Oh man, I mean, what a great. Only one Dean Martin, you know, what a look, what a sound, what a personality, you know, for sure. All the old school guys, Sammy, appreciation for that. You know, classic rock, Van Halen, grew up with those guys. You know, when I was a kid, I used to like Van Halen a lot. Who else? So many influences, I mean, over the years that we've had. Billy Joel, big fan. Elton John's music's great, you know, over the years. But Elvis is the one that, by far, you know, for me, just struck a chord. And I knew that I loved his music. The fact that I can actually make a living at it is a real blessing. It's a gift. And people ask me all the time, they go, don't you get sick and tired of singing the same old songs? And yeah, sometimes I get burned out, you know, but I truly love singing the songs. I truly appreciate the greatness of Elvis, his songs, and I love singing the songs. I really do.
That's awesome. You mentioned a couple people, Tom Jones, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say the name Steve McCoy as one of the living legends within Legends in Concert, since we're in tribute land, and
yes,
quite the personality of Legends in Concert, a guy who I spent my first 2 months with at Legends, and my rookie run was with Steve McCoy, and that's quite an introduction to the whole company. He's brilliant. He's sarcastic. He's a cut up, but more than anything, he's just entertaining.
No doubt about it. Steve is definitely a pro. I love his version of Tom Jones. I love the way he gets the crowd going, and he's another guy who's just so passionate about his character and what he does, and definitely a good guy to have in the dressing room too. Oh. You know, I think, I really believe that the show that goes on in the dressing room helps translate into a good show on stage, because everybody's fired up. Everybody wants to do a good job. And when you have a dressing room that's happening, I think it provides for a better show on stage for everybody.
Absolutely. That energy, it gets you halfway there. You're already ready to roll by the time you set foot on the stage. Steve McCoy will have you crying with laughter, and in fact, you have to like, you know, find a way to reel it in, because he got you too amped sometimes.
Oh yeah. Over the years, we've definitely had me and Steve. Oh man, we've had countless laughs, and definitely he's one of the greats, no doubt about it.
I'll get him in here on the podcast. That'd be quite something to have Steve McCoy on a podcast. We'll do that soon.
Absolutely.
So, Harry, what is the process of learning how to sing like Elvis and act and talk and the whole nine yards? What is the what's the secret there?
Well, back in the day, I don't do it as much anymore, but I used to, you know, watch videos a lot of Elvis's videos. I used to actually watch a lot of other Elvis's videos too, and you know, sometimes you watch another guy doing Elvis, and you know, you want to be careful about that. You don't want to start impersonating an impersonator, However, what you can learn from watching another impersonator is what to do, and sometimes more importantly, what not to do. Sometimes you can watch and say, you know what, I probably would not do that. But I've also watched other Elvis impersonators and learned some things too. But as far as the vocals go, when I first moved to town, I wasn't really a very good singer. I was okay. I had my moments, but I had never taken a vocal lesson. I moved here just kind of winging it, you know, and about 2004, somebody finally suggested to me that maybe I should take a vocal lesson. And I'm so glad that they did that, because that kind of changed things for me. And I became a much better singer, and I was able to sing for longer periods of time and not lose my voice. And I started working with a gal named Kimberly Knitz, and she showed me a vocal method. Seth Riggs, you ever heard of that, Scott? Seth Riggs?
Yes.
So I started learning the Seth Riggs method of singing. And the first thing that she did was kind of take my voice, and she said, we're going to have you start learning to sing songs without trying to sound like Elvis, just using your own natural voice. And then we'll build the intonation later. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I could tell you more about it. I could spend a lot of time talking about it, but I'm just so glad that I went and I took the training. And to this day, I still listen to the CDs that we recorded back then. That's how I warm up before I go to shows, and definitely helped me a lot, man.
The thing about vocal lessons and coaches is Celine Dion still actively takes lessons with her vocal coach. And so the very best singers in the world, you know, take vocal lessons with their coach continuously. And it's an ongoing process to keep that voice with longevity, and to keep it just the way you want it, finely tuned. And vocal coaches are the way to go, in my opinion. You can't go wrong. You can only get better. So I agree with that completely.
Yeah, I mean, even Tiger Woods, all those years that he was great, he still had a golf coach.
Yeah, I think he fired him lately, because I haven't seen Tiger for like a year. What's he been doing?
Well, I don't know. I have no idea what Tiger's doing. I'm just saying, even the great ones, Michael Jordan, all these guys, you know, they all have coaches.
Yes.
And you can always be better. And that's what I learned, because, my new thing, what I want to do, and I really need to do it. I've been putting it off for years, is I really need to start playing guitar again. Because for a little while, I was learning how to play, and I can play a few chords, but I think this is the year I got to go, and I really got to learn how to play guitar and be able to accompany myself and play guitar. I got to do it.
It's good cross training too. It expands your vocal knowledge, and it gives you a whole new respect for just for singing in general. I do guitar with my shows now and then. I don't like to. It's my weaker of my qualities is my guitaring. So I prefer someone else to play it.
Yeah.
But now and then I'll do it just because it's more
right.
It's more authentic, I guess.
Sure.
But I'll tell you one thing, Harry, and the audience listening. One thing about your singing and your style and your performance that I think far surpasses most other Elvi is what you do between your songs and your attitude overall on stage. You just don't take yourself too seriously. And I think that that's healthy. I think the audience relaxes, and you engage quite well with your audience. You're not so scripted so that you have to stay to the script every single second. You can break free of that and ad lib and improvise and look out in the audience and react. And I enjoy watching you, because you never know what's going to happen in a Harry Sheehan show, because it's not going to be the same show twice.
Yeah. Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. That's again, it goes back to being an entertainer. The stuff, the in-between stuff is what I live for, really. I mean, at this point, with all due respect, I mean, a song like Suspicious Minds, I've sang it thousands of times. I mean, I've probably at this point sang it more times than Elvis ever did. I still love singing the song, but it's definitely the in-between stuff that goes on, the banter, the scarves, the banter with the ladies or even sometimes the dudes, and just having fun with them. And And that's the stuff I love. I love to look out there and see an audience and see them having a good time. And I remember one time a friend of mine, another guy that's in our business, another lookalike, Marcel Forestieri. You ever work with him?
Marcel, hold on. Does he do the Jay Leno?
Yeah.
Okay, I've not worked with him, but I know who he is.
Yeah, he's really good. Another guy that's not just a one-trick pony. He does Jay Leno, and he actually first started off as doing Elvis back in the day, and now he's doing Donald Trump, which is funny. But one night, you know, he and I were both in the show, and we were talking, and someone said, oh yeah, the crowd out there, it's kind of a weak crowd, it's small, they're quiet, this and that, and I thought, oh, you know, I kind of started. Kind of just doing kind of a like, oh man, that sucks, and this and that. And he told me something that kind of has stuck with me, and that is, you know, Harry, when you go out there, don't think about what the audience is going to give you. Think about what you're going to give the audience.
Mm, that's good.
And that's something that I remind myself right before I go on stage. And I just don't think about what them giving me applause or them giving me the satisfaction that I need. Think about what you're going to do to make them happy. And it's amazing when I do that, it really helps me put me in the right frame of mind. And the results, you know, are usually pretty good. Now, I mean, sometimes you go out there and you do the same thing you did the night before and the crowd doesn't really give you the love. And you know, sometimes you can't help it. I mean, you know, it is what it is, but I truly love to entertain people, and I appreciate that. They appreciate the little things that I do to besides singing the songs, you know?
Yeah, no. Well said, JFK. Ask not what you can do for your country.
I'm sure he kind of stole it, but it's true though. You know, I mean, it's, you know, instead of, you know, bitching and moaning about a crowd, just go out there and entertain them. Even if it's five people, who cares? Just entertain them.
Absolutely. And even on those off nights where you're not feeling the love from the crowd, you never really know who's in the crowd and what they're really thinking or really, you know, embracing in that show. They may not be overly verbal or overly clapping or enthusiastic, but that's just how they're wired. And they're going to go home and tell their friends, hey, I just saw this Elvis guy. You got to see him. You know, maybe they didn't give you the love that you're used to, you know, feeling or hearing, but sometimes we don't know what they're thinking in the audience.
How many times have we entertained an audience and then you go out to the meet and greet afterward and they tell you how much they love the show and you thought, what? But, you know, it happens. Just reminding myself that before I go on stage has always kind of helped me.
Yeah, no, I love it. That's a great philosophy. You know, what can you give your audience besides validating their parking? I think that's a good philosophy to have.
That's right. Validating the parking. Yeah, man.
Here,
it's all good, man. I love entertaining people.
Yes, I know, man. I can feel it. I can hear it. What does your family think about it?
Well, my mom and dad, you know, they've always embraced what I, you know, do. And they've never, even when I first started, they never tried to talk me out of it. I think that they were at first kind of scratched their head as to how I became a performer. But because, I mean, there's nobody in my family who performs. There's not one singer. There's not one impersonator. There's not, you know, anything. I mean, my mom is from Beirut, Lebanon. My father was born in Baghdad, Iraq. There's not one performer in our family. And how I do Elvis to this day, I really don't know. But I call it the power of Elvis. I saw his image when I was a kid. I heard his voice and I saw him perform. And I said, man, I want to do that. That seemed like a lot of fun to me. But my mom and dad have always liked what I do and supported me fully to this day. They're my biggest fans. And, you know, my wife, she loves what I do also. You know, the Golden Nugget is a late night gig. It's a late hours. We're on two completely different schedules and there's a sacrifice that, you know, she has to make. And it's not always easy, but, you know, she's very supportive to me and my career. And my kids love it. You know, Hannah, my 8-year-old, she actually carries my business cards around at her school and is so proud to tell everybody that my dad is an Elvis impersonator. You know, she loves to tell everybody that. And Grace, my little 4-year-old, well, she's I think she's still trying to figure things out. But anytime I'm singing publicly, they are always dancing and singing along. And I think that they love it.
Well, Hannah, who is going to be, by the way, one of the presidents of the United States in the future, she sounds like she's already starting to be one of your agents. So that's pretty good, too. You're going to give her like 10%?
Oh, absolutely. She's already getting more than 10%. She's getting it all. It's all for her, man. That's why we work. That's why I work hard. I work. You were talking about earlier why, you know, being lazy, you were kidding around. Hey, man, I work hard because you got kids. You got people counting on you, you know. And I always worked hard. Even before I was a singer and performer, I always worked hard. I when I was a waiter back in the day, at one point I had three different waitering jobs going at the same time, you know. I always worked. I always felt like I had to provide, and I never finished college, you know, and I stopped going, and the day that I stopped going to college, I promised myself that I would always work hard. I would always find a way to be successful, and I think I've done that. So now it's about longevity and, you know, keeping it going for as long as possible.
I love it. Hey, what is the one of the most embarrassing moments or craziest things that's ever happened on stage?
Well. You know, like most performers, I've fallen off a stage before. That's one thing that pops into my mind right away. One time I was trying to be dramatic, and I was in my black leather, and I stepped forward trying to do like a dramatic Elvis move. Well, I couldn't see the end of the stage, and my left foot, instead of landing on the ground, basically went right into the audience. So which I tumbled into the audience. That happened once. That was pretty scary. To my credit, I actually held onto the microphone and kept singing, rolled over, got right back on stage. That was kind of cool. What else? Through the years, anything embarrassing?
I don't even know how you. I don't even know how you do it on a consistently, you know, night. You engage with these ladies who, first of all, they all want your scarf, and they want you to sign the scarf. They want you to put your sweat on the scarf. What's that?
You know, man, there's been a few moments in my life where I really can't believe how the hysteria of people and over me. I mean, you know, I really don't, like you said earlier, I don't take myself that seriously. You know, I always give the credit to Elvis. I think most Elvis impersonators do. And if they don't, they should, because it's really Elvis. It's the image. It's the persona that they want to be connected with. We're kind of just the messenger, you know? But I've done a few shows where I really, truly look at these people. Like, I cannot believe that you are this into what I'm doing right now. I mean, truly, I did one event. It was here in Vegas. It was just a private event. It was for some tourists, and it was an all Japanese group. And I honestly, my expectations of this party were minimal. I was not expecting much hysteria at all. I started singing, and I'm telling you, even the agent, I wish she could tell you, she was saw with her own eyes. These people came at me from like 50 different directions. And all of a sudden I was surrounded while I was singing, Women, these older Asian women just grabbing at me like you wouldn't believe it. And there was like, it seemed like 100 cameras going off at one time, and they were all sitting down. And then I came in, and they didn't even know I was coming in. And I'm telling you, it was the most unbelievable thing I could, you know, I'm not even the real guy. And I'll never forget that, because my expectations were so minimal on this gig. And they lost their mind. I literally lost their mind. Like I thought, am I on candid camera? Is it people really losing their minds over this?
Yeah, it is. It's a phenomenon. I've gotten to work with several LVI in the last couple of years, and the pandemonium within the fans is something that I still don't understand. We're backstage going, they know he's not Elvis, right? And
right.
I'm not sure.
Right.
I'm not sure. You know, maybe they're blurring the lines a little bit. Maybe they're They're half fantasy and half in reality, and you're bringing that to fruition, yeah. And it's sparking some kind of an excitement that they haven't felt, you know, for years. And then when they feel it, yeah. they just let it go, and they get uncontrollable. I guess the best explanation I can give for it, but yeah, it's beyond description. I've watched it happen, and I'm just like, wow, that is something else. That they are absolutely enthralled to the point of Beatles, actual Elvis, Justin Bieber. It's really quite something to watch.
Yeah, it's what I call the power of Elvis, man. I'm telling you, Elvis is, if you don't love Elvis, you know somebody who does. And to some people, Elvis is almost kind of like a religious icon to them. It's almost kind of like he's got that presence for people. It wouldn't surprise me if some people pray to the Elvis God. I mean, it's crazy. It really is a phenomenon. And I like to think of myself as a very big fan, and I'm an actor. I'm a performer, obviously. I'm not trying to be Elvis. You know, even in this interview right now, I mean, I'm not trying to be Elvis right now. I'm just talking to you as Harry. But, you know, the power of Elvis is crazy to this day, how much people still, you know, rely on him for comfort. I mean, just to listen to his songs. I've talked to some people that have had some medical issues. One lady told me one time she had, the way she put it was, she had had 17 different surgeries, and she said, Elvis got me through all of them. Speaking as if Elvis was like Jesus or something, you know, or God. I mean, it's like, to me, it's mind blowing. I don't necessarily always agree with people with what they say, but it's the power of Elvis. And if you can emulate him, sing like him, look like him, move like him, it gives people a feeling of comfort or a good feeling. And it's truly amazing. But I take a little bit of the credit for it, because I'm obviously the one doing it, but it's all because of Elvis, man. You know, it's just the Elvis phenomena. People freaking love him. I mean, it's to this day, I mean, they still just absolutely love him.
Sure. And people love you too, Harry. They really, I mean, you have a following that spans across the globe. And so that's why I have you on this podcast. I need some legitimacy on this thing. And speaking of, I need to do a quick sponsor drop, because we're almost done here on Tribute Land with Scott Keogh. Brought to you by Red Bull. It keeps you singing like Elvis all night, and it gives you wings. All right, Harry, we're about to wrap this thing up. You had a good time so far?
Oh, yeah, man. No, well, Scott, you know, thank you for asking me to do this. And, you know, it's always fun to talk to you, whether or not we're recording it or not. And I just wish we could work together again sometime, you know. We had a lot of fun. Good vibe and the good times in the dressing room, which, I really appreciate that, because when you're sitting next to somebody for days and days and hours, it's kind of nice to have a friendship and, root for each other and all that. And, you know, we've been talking about me this whole time, but, you know, you really are a great singer and a great, tribute to Michael Bublé. And I like to think that even if I didn't do Elvis, I think I could be an entertainer. And I certainly know that, you know, you could be an entertainer with or without the Bublé tribute. So that's kind of a cool thing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And thank you for fulfilling the contract. What people don't know is that you have to say that. That's actually part of the contractual agreement with the podcast. So thank you for getting that in. I was worried.
Right. But you're not supposed to say that on the radio. They didn't know that until you said that. You just blew it.
I'm new at this.
Yeah.
I'll get the hang of this.
It's okay. One word. Edit.
Edit button. Hit that button. Hey, listen, one last question for you, Harry. Well, first of all, I want to make sure that they can find you. And tell me if this is right. It's Harry, that's Harry, and then the word as, mm-hmm. that's A-S, and then the word Elvis, ELVIS.com.
That's right. HarryAsElvis.com, not to be confused with HarryAsElvis.com. That's correct.
Edit button. Okay, well, one last question. What would you like to deliver as a message to the world before we leave this podcast? You have fans all over the place. So what would you like to tell them before we depart this Tribute Land podcast?
Well, I would like to say thank you for listening to this interview. And I want to thank you for loving Elvis and for supporting what we do. it's without the fans of Elvis, and we really, you know, our jobs would not be there, you know. So it's an honor to perform as Elvis. I've been honored to do it since 1993, and I've performed for so many great fans and people, and met so many great artists. And I'm just humble and thankful for the opportunities. And I just say, keep it rocking, and everybody be good to each other. And Scott, you're awesome. Thank you for having me on. That's all I got.
Harry Shehoin, everybody, thank you so much for joining us in Tribute Land. He's a true entertainer. I'm honored to call him a friend. And I'm so glad he was able to come in and spend the whole hour with me today at Tribute Land. Good night, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Scott.
And don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. Oh, darling, I save the last dance for me. So don't forget who's taking you home. Or in his arms you're gonna be. Oh, darling, save the last dance for me. A pretty mama, won't you save the last dance for me? I'll make a promise that you'll save the last dance for me. Save the last dance, or the very last dance.
At the end of each and every single Tribute Land podcast, we'd like to give a shout out to at least one Elvis Presley tribute artist out there in the world, just to conclude the show. And today, I'm going to go ahead and choose Mr. Dean Z. He won the Ultimate Elvis Tribute Artist Contest. He is an incredible Elvis, an incredible person as well. I look forward to actually having him as a full one-hour guest here on my podcast. I'm going to reach out to his team very soon for that, so I can't wait for that one. But anyways, to see Dean, go to his website, which is Dean, that's D-E-A-N, and then Z, just DeanZ.com, or check out his YouTube or Facebook. His Facebook is DeanZAsElvis.com. Dean, if you're out there listening, come on in to Tribute Land. We'll do a whole show based around you. And that is today's Elvis Spotlight. Cheers, everybody.